Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Piece by Pieces, the podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Hutt, and today we're hopping right in to Shamestorm Part 2. I'm not going to go into the explanation. If you missed Shamestorm Part 1, go ahead and listen to that, because that's where all the, you know, setup information is and anything you might need to make this make sense. But so the second thing that I was feeling shame about that night in regards to my daughter was that when we read books at night, when we're reading books, you know, at bedtime, and I feel like she interrupts me a lot, you know. And I actually watched, I saw a reel earlier today from Dr. Becky, and she was talking about, like, at bedtime when kids just start asking, like, so many questions. And she was saying that it's like, it's a form of separation anxiety. Like their nervous system is seeking regulation in anticipation of being separated from you, from that. But we don't do that. We still co-sleep at the moment. And, you know, that's one of my out of the box choices. If you don't agree with it, that's totally fine. You get to do you, I get to do me. And, yeah, so that's, I guess that's a story for another day, but like, so that's not what it is with her, right? That was my point. So while we're reading a book, it feels like every sentence she's like interrupting me to ask a question. And she's done this for a long time. Like, I can remember getting really frustrated with her when she was like 3. And, you know, I'm not going to say that that was right, but that is what was happening. And, you know, I remember thinking back, I remember her being small and then in her like talking or whatever, and me being like, well, I'm gonna keep reading. And sometimes being a little sassy about it in my own sassy pants, right? But the other night, and this had happened a couple of nights in a row, and each time, you know, I had, my initial reaction was like, ugh, like, would you just shush your mouth and listen to the story? Right? Like, that's what I was thinking. But then I would take a breath. Like, she would, you know, she's very calm with me. Like, I am calm with her. Like, even though that's what was happening inside my brain, that's not really what I said. She knew that I was frustrated, and she was like, well, Mom, I have a question, but you like, don't stop, you know, like you keep reading. Like there's, it's not like I take a pause and then be like, do you have any questions? Right? Like, so if she's got a question, like, she's got to get it in there. Right? And then I was like, yeah, you're right. Okay. And then like, even when I was frustrated, like I would stop and be like, tell me, like, I want to know, like, tell me. Okay. So that had happened in a couple of nights, and it happened this night that I was feeling the shame storm that wouldn't let me sleep. So that was like the next thing that came in after thinking about this bike was like, oh my gosh, like I keep doing that to her. Like, that's not how I want to be. That's not, like, her voice is important. I legit do want to know what she has to say. I do, you know, I'm not like making that up. I'm not just saying that. Like, I do, like, I want to know what she has to say in those moments. So it's like, what's going on? So like the next morning, again, I sat down to go through each of these cases. Cause I was like, I want to work through these. Cause I want, and then this one specifically is, you know, a behavior of mine that's happening right now in real time that I would like to shift, because that's not how I want to be. So I was like, where's this coming from? Where's this coming from? So I sit down to journal it out, and I'm like, okay, one, I don't like being interrupted. I don't like that feeling of being interrupted, whether I'm reading a book or whether I'm recounting a story or whether I'm explaining something or whatever. Like, I don't like being interrupted. It like triggers something in me, right? It triggers up some anger, some frustration, maybe some like imprints of not being heard, you know, because me, like a lot of people, moms my age, like when we were kids, like we weren't always given the opportunity to fully explain what we had experienced, or what, you know, our side of the story, or, you know, you never listen to me and that kind of stuff, right? So I know I have imprints of that. And even though I'm just reading a book, it's still triggering that in me, right? And that I wish, like, if I could paint this perfect picture, that I wish that she would just lay there quietly and listen to me read a book. And then she'd be like, "That was wonderful, mommy. Thank you for reading me a book. Good night, sweet dreams." Mwah. You know, like that's like ideally for me what would happen. But she has questions. She has questions. Her questions have questions. And I want her to have questions. I want her to question things. I want to understand how our brains connect things to other things. I want to understand how her brain connects things to other things and all the curiosities and all the questions. Like, I want her to have these questions. I want her to be willing to allow and accept, and I want to work with her through those questions on anything and everything, whether it's, you know, the big things about how the world works or where babies come from, or whether I'm, you know, reading a book about a cat that wants to be a dog. Like, it doesn't really matter, right? Like, for them, for the kids, like, everything is important. And maybe whatever they think is important, like, we can look at it and be like, it doesn't really matter what the dog did on the last page. Like, it doesn't, it's not that important, but it is to them. And we get to choose, I get to choose to also place importance on that, to enter into her world and be like, okay, let's look at it, right? I want to allow and accept her questions and work with her through those, even if I'm in the middle of a book. Like, that's what I want. And that it's all okay. And it's all okay. And it's all okay. And to just breathe, right? And sometimes I'm just tired. And sometimes me being tired means I'm not my best. I'm not my most patient, loving self. So the frustration is closer to the surface. Yet I can always access my best. I can. I know my best. I know where my true heart is. I know what I want in these situations. I know how I want to be in those situations. And that may not always be what's right there at the surface, but when it is triggered up, I can always take a breath and access that best part of me, that person, the mom that I want to be showing up as, even in the moment of that struggle, even exactly in that moment, I can pull her out. And that's pretty interesting that I can always access my best, which is my love for her. And then if something needs to be repaired, if I need to apologize, if I need to reconnect through something, then I can do that with my love for her. So last night, or that night, when I was thinking back to when I would get frustrated with her in that same situation when she was like 3, and I guess back then I was really just waiting and hoping for her to like fall asleep while I was reading, right? And if she's interrupting me with questions, then she's not sleeping. But now she rarely falls asleep when I'm reading. And like I said, it had happened a couple of nights in a row where this exact scenario happened, and she was calm about it. And she was like, "But mom, I just have a question, mom." Oh, and even when she would interrupt me and I'd be like, ah, she'd be like, "I'm sorry, but I just have a question." You know, like, she was calm and cool and collected through it all. Like, and if a 6-year-old can do that, like, by God, a 41-year-old can do that, right? Like, why can't I be? She calmly voiced herself a couple of times around this. And maybe if it triggers up shame in me from when I would get angry when she was little, and I'm sure that there was at least once when I got so frustrated at being interrupted that I just like shut the book and was like, "We're done. Lights out. We're going to sleep." Which you could view as a natural consequence. Like, you, if you annoy a person, they move away from you. But that's disconnection. And while that may be true for like all other people in the world, you know, like if she's playing with a group of friends and she's being really annoying, which she's not or anything, but like, and those friends like move away and like they're like, "Oh, I don't want to play with her," for what, you know, like if that were to happen, and this is totally hypothetical, it's never happened, but that's something that can happen in the rest of the world, but that's not something that I feel would be appropriate in her foundation relationship, which is me. that if you do something to bother, that bothers somebody else, not even like to do something to bother someone, but if you're just being you, but like other people find it annoying, they may move away. But I don't want her to carry that belief about me. And because I am the foundation of like all of her future relationships, you know, if she's in a partnership with, you know, a man, like getting, you know, working towards marriage or whatever, like, I don't want her to be in a relationship where, like, if she's just doing her things and the other person gets annoyed and, like, disconnects and, like, runs away, like, that's not cool. Like, that's not what I want for her either. Because she wasn't trying to annoy me. She wasn't trying to frustrate me. She wasn't even trying to delay bedtime or, you know, anxious about separation. She wasn't trying to do any of that, especially back when she was three. She was just being a three-year-old. And now she's just being a curious six-year-old with lots of questions. And her brain is making connections, beautiful connections to other thing. And it snowballs from one thing into another. And she's not trying to annoy me. She even apologizes. And during these years, I want to be here for her. I want to be here for her. So that means being aware of my own stuff, working through it on my own so that I can show up and access my best, so that I know what my best is and that I can access my best at any given time, even in a moment of increasingly, you know, great frustration, that I can access that with a breath and bring myself, bring my heart, bring my love and patience and kindness back into the present moment to then respond to her the way that I want to. The way that I want to. Setting her emotional foundation underneath of her as solid as I can. As solid as I can. And if that's some skills that you wish you had, or you're like, wow, because I didn't, you know, like, that's not in the mom handbook that I got. I don't know what was in the mom handbook that you got, but I've had to figure out a lot of this stuff on my own along the way. And paired with my training as a hypnotherapist, my work in inner child healing with myself and my clients, and work with so many adult women, and seeing where and knowing where all of these, the stuff that we're all carrying around, this doubt, this worry, this guilt, this blame, this shame, that's not only about motherhood, but about all things, like what our house looks like, what we do for a living, if it's enough, the kind of car we drive, if we fixed our hair today, if we shaved our legs, if we feel worthy enough to speak up, if we feel worthy enough to talk to that person, and all this absolute trash that we all carry around with us. Like, I made a promise to myself a number of years ago that I was going to focus on making that different for her. And I knew when she was 2 years old that it had a lot more to do with me and a lot less to do with her. Right? And that hasn't changed. Now that she's six, almost seven, it still has a whole bunch more to do with me than it has anything to do with her. So that's why I created my Joyous Mom Accelerator. It's a program. It's beautiful. It's hypnotherapy based. It will literally retrain your mind for nervous system regulation, to restore your humanity, to restore your rest, to restore your best, rapid stress reduction, to have these things available for you at all times, with ways to work through feelings of guilt and blame and shame, to use your voice to speak up for what you need, because you're a people too, mama. So if you're interested in that, or just interested to know more, or if there are other options, click the link below to apply for a free DM conversation on Instagram. You just fill out some questions. We have a chat. I have lots of options. It's not just the program. There are other options that fall underneath of there, from minimum investment to higher investments, depending on what you have available. And I know that there is something that will work for you that will help you in this motherhood journey of yours, because your motherhood journey is their childhood journey, and it is all intertwined into this human experience that you are creating for your children right now and living through on your own. Whew, mama, I'm here for you. So click that link below to apply for free and let's have a chat. I love you. Stay tuned for episode 3 of The Shame Storm because, man, love ya.